In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You may be seated. Doctors are people who proclaim doctrine. Doctor is a word that simply means teacher. And doctrine simply means teaching. St. Ambrose, who we commemorate today, is a doctor of the church, a teacher of the church. We give thanks today that the Lord gives teachers to his Christians. He makes his name holy among us by causing his word to be taught in its truth and purity, that we may lead godly lives according to it. Now, while the title of doctor has traditionally been reserved for a very select few men who were called to teach the entire church, nevertheless, all pastors are public teachers of the church, even as every father is to be a teacher of the faith to his own family. Shepherds must pasture the sheep entrusted to them with wholesome food. So also they must defend the flock against wolves. They must teach rightly. They must rebuke false teachers. That is their charge. And so St. Paul writes to a young pastor, Timothy, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and his kingdom, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, reprove, rebuke, and exhort with complete patience and teaching." Now, this isn't a human job description, this is a divine office. And Paul isn't being melodramatic here, setting Timothy in the light of God's judgment day throne. No, God alone is the one who gives doctors and pastors to the church. That means that they're going to have to give an account to him at the last day. Their charge, then, is to reprove and rebuke and exhort, not from their own passion, but from his truth. And thus it can be done with complete patience and teaching. It can be done with the ultimate perspective in mind. God is not going to be harmed if his word is not believed. His name is certainly holy in itself. The preacher fears God's judgment first. He trusts his truth first. And so all of the other charges have to melt away from his mind when he stands before God. And trust me, there will be other charges given to any pastor. Paul says the time's coming when people are not going to endure sound teaching, but having itching ears, they will accumulate for themselves teachers to suit their own passions. And they'll turn away from listening to the truth and wander off into myths. God's name is kept holy among us when his teaching is kept sound. But sinners have their own ideas, so they issue their own charges. Now, if you are a disciple, and this is a warning for you, watch your ears. Itching ears beg to be scratched. Now, what an evocative way to put it. Our flesh is itching to hear preaching that suits it, that strokes us, that agrees with everything that we already know or want to be true. We even say it sometimes. We want a preacher who's going to meet me where I'm at. But preachers, sad to say, are just as tempted. This is also a warning for me. It's preachers, after all, who have so often insisted to us that the church, in fact, needs to meet the needs of the people. It needs to let the world set the agenda. We need to meet people where they're at. We need to give them what they think they need, because they know best. Well, if the human heart loved the truth, you know, maybe that would be fine. But the true teaching of the scriptures, of course, is that our hearts flee from God's truth. We're in need of rescue. Need, therefore, of just what Paul says, rebuke, correction, exhortation, and at last to receive the Lord's freeing, absolving truth. So be certain that you are being tempted by the devil every time that you utter a complaint or dissatisfaction against your pastor, whether it's me or any of the ones that came before me. It may well be that they have bruised your ego or stepped on your passions a bit. But that's going to tempt you to drum up a preacher of your own, created in your own image, who will tell your flesh what it wants to hear. God's charge, which you heard today, for your good, is that you hear and believe what is divinely true, according to His word, not what might be true to you, to your heart, according to your experience. Isn't this the truth? I mean, the truth, after all, we know that may just sting. It may rebuke, it may correct us. And it then may proclaim a Savior who is not me. Now, such truth, the correction of God's law, and the outside of us gospel of Christ's salvation, that is certainly out of season at this moment, if it ever has been in season. And we know what's in season right now. Myths of all kinds. But a doctor and a preacher must teach the truth anyway. And, dear Christians, the baptismal life of repentance means that you and I need to hear and believe the truth anyway, just the same way. Our dear Pastor Fisk from Oaks, who in a sense he's left North Dakota, if you haven't heard, in a sense he's gone to be a doctor of sorts. He's now a public teacher of the church over the radio waves in St. Louis and on the internet. Anyway, Pastor Fisk is fond of stressing this point. Our basic assumption, whenever we come to the Bible or come to listen to a sermon, should be that we expect that we may be corrected. God's will and God's word drive in a different direction than us. Expect to be enlightened about yourself and about Him. Expect that you may have your mind changed. And you know what? That's actually the literal meaning of the Greek word that's used in the Bible for repentance. To have a change of mind. A city on a hill, like Jesus references in the Gospel, a city on a hill is something you'll notice. Light cuts through the darkness. Think of your high beams on the way home. And salt seasons, stings sometimes, cleans out, and no matter what, will chemically react in some way. But one thing that salt can't do is have no effect. Go along, suit passions, and obediently scratch an itch. Salt losing its saltiness, as Jesus talks about in today's gospel, That was never a scientific description of what salt does. It is an impossibility, and that's the point. Salt that isn't salty isn't even salt. False truth is no truth. A false doctor, that's a heretic. And what kind of disciples do you think a heretic produces? Protect us from this, Heavenly Father. Hallowed be thy name. Saint Ambrose, he was no heretic. Ambrose fought heretics. He did it with complete patience and teaching, and yet steadfast and faithful to his charge. Ambrose lived at a time when heresy was rampant, a time that rivals our own, but maybe even is darker. Ambrose lived after the Council of Nicaea, after the Nicene Creed that we confess all the time was written and well known, and yet there still persistently all over the world were those who flatly denied that Jesus was eternal and that Jesus was truly God, the essence of our faith. They did not confess the incarnation. They didn't really have anything to celebrate at Christmas. They didn't believe that God was made man in Jesus Christ. In fact, Arius, who was the most notorious of the heretics, Arius even had all sorts of people going around singing songs about these false truths set to music. Well, Ambrose was a faithful bishop in his town of Milan, Italy, and he wouldn't have that. So he took up the pen and he composed true hymns. And that, in fact, is to this day how he is best known to us. He wrote the hymn that we just sang, the hymn that we're going to sing at the end of the service today, too. And what do you notice about Ambrose's hymns, the ones that we're singing tonight, and all the hymns that we ever sing here? Notice that they confess Christ, and they do it vigorously. They teach doctrine, and they're intended to do that, because that is what fulfills what Colossians 3 says that all Christian songs are supposed to do. It says this: let the word of Christ dwell in us richly. How? Teaching and admonishing one another with all wisdom in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, with thanksgiving in your hearts. Now, it might not seem like a hymn is all that important, but I ask you, what is it that you, what do you go out of this service humming for the rest of the week? What is it that sticks with you? What is it that you can still utter and sing when dementia or even death begin to overwhelm you? I dare say it's never any of my sermons, and that's okay. I'm glad to admit that the hymns are far better. You'll die someday with songs on your lips, with hymns, the parts of the divine service all set to music. Right? Will you die with myths and heresies on your lips? Or, disciples, will you die with the truth on your lips? If you can answer that question, then now you see what it means to be a teacher in the church. You see why it is that pastors care so much about what it is that we sing on a Sunday or on a Wednesday. Why they pick the hymns that they pick, especially when they might not be the ones that you might pick. Because what the church sings is subject to the very same charge as her doctors and her ministers are put under. The one that St. Paul says in today's epistle. The next time that we sing something that you don't know, or that maybe even you don't like, leave some room for the Lord's word, maybe to reprove you and to enlighten you from it. After all, has God commanded that your pastors scratch your ears and suit your passions? Or has God commanded that he lead you into sound doctrine? Because nothing, I promise you, nothing beats the truth, disciples. I'm confident that you will soon change your mind from enduring to rejoicing in the sounds of sound doctrine. Give it some time and hear it coming from your Lord, and then I think you'll rejoice. Thank God for whatever faithful teachers God has given you. Thanks to everyone who brought God's word to rebuke and to correct and to exhort, to admonish and to sting and to humble and to batter you, and then to resurrect you with the forgiveness of sins. Whatever flaws and whatever sins rubbed you the wrong way, those pastors remained faithful and steadfast to the charge that God gave them. Even if, and especially if, you at times may have tried to choose a different charge to lay upon their backs. The Lord saw that they remained faithful, kept that true word coming to you, so that you would trust and rest in nothing but the saving, freeing doctrine of the gospel. Thank God also for St. Ambrose, who turned back heresy and who returned the true confession of Jesus to his people's lips, and all with hymns of all things. He's not only a doctor of the ancient church, he's actually still doctoring you and me too. He's teaching us to sing the true word of God and letting us confess it even to the grave. And sainted Dr. Ambrose has now, just like St. Paul, finished his race. He's done fighting that good fight against heresy and itching ears, even if his hymns still do it now. There is laid up for him also the crown of righteousness. And thanks to faithful preachers of God's word and many a faithful hymn, we too love the Lord's appearing. We know that course run by our virgin born and incarnate Savior into our flesh, into hell, back then to his crown for us. And thus, that crown is laid up for you and for me as well. Stay faithful, dear disciples. Stay truthful. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.